Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the little epistle of Jude once again. Jude, and we're going to be taking a look at two verses here. Verses 12 and 13. We're been looking at for several weeks now characteristics of the apostate. And understand when we take a look at these characteristics, it doesn't mean that you're going to find all of these characteristics necessarily in each apostate, but these are the things that we need to look at. Characteristics, if we see in someone who is teaching or preaching, to understand that they might be of the nature of an apostate. So let's look tonight at verse number 12 and 13. Verse 12, he says, "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackest, the blackness of darkness forever." First thing we see here, he talks about that they are spots in your feast of charity. I mean, by this, we can see that they are ruinous. The word that is translated spots here refers to hidden rocks. As in, when a mariner is unaware of hidden rocks that could quickly wreck his ship. And so the helmsman piloting the ship must always be alert, because even waters that look calm and safe can be dangerous. And in the same way, spiritual leaders must constantly be on guard as well for these dangerous apostates, because these apostates can wreck a church. Peter speaks of these as well. 2 Peter 2:13, he says, "Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." Now, the word that is translated spots there in that verse refers to a stain or an imperfection. And the word blemish refers to a flaw or a blot. And it points to them being a disgraceful person. You ever had a stain on a shirt? I mean, it could be a very small stain. Sometimes the dress shirts that I wear, I'm love to have a pocket on my shirts, but sometimes my pen gets left open with the point out, and sometimes ink will get on the shirt there and the pocket. And it causes a blemish, it causes a spot there that is a stain or an imperfection that it really ruins the shirt. And so some of these apostates had invaded the Feast of Charity in the local assemblies, but all they did was defile them. These Feasts of Charity were the purpose of having fellowship together and showing love one toward another. And I love when we have fellowships. We don't call them Feast of Charities. We have fellowship meals sometimes. We go over to the fellowship hall and we share a meal together. And, you know, everyone's invited to come. Doesn't matter how little or how much you got, you can come over there and we all eat together. And these apostates, these Feasts of Charity that the churches had at this time, all they did was defile them when they would show up at them. The tragedy here is that many in the assembly did not realize the true character of these men. They thought the men to be spiritual. However, instead of them adding to the holy nature of these feasts, they actually detracted from them. I want you to think of the last Passover that Jesus celebrated with his disciples. Remember how that Judas was a spot in that feast. Now, the disciples didn't recognize it until later. But looking back at that meal, Jesus' disciples would recognize that on that night, Judas was a spot and a blemish, a disgrace to the word disciple as he wound up betraying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus saw Judas that way, but the disciples didn't recognize it until later, until after he had betrayed our Lord. So sometimes these apostates, they appear to be something that they're not, and they are ruinous in their ways. You see, not only are they ruinous, but they are selfish. It says there in our text, feeding themselves. Feeding themselves. Their interest is only in advancing themselves. The word translated feeding means shepherding. And instead of shepherding Christ's flock and caring for the needs of his people, these apostates are only interested in taking care of themselves. Now, I know that I'm shepherd of the flock, being the pastor, but there's a sense in which we shepherd one another. We shepherd those who are maybe less fortunate than us, and we shepherd those who are in need of being fed spiritually and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jude may have had in mind the shepherds that are spoken of in Isaiah chapter 56. If you look at Isaiah 56 and look down in verse number 10, he talks about these. Isaiah 56 verse 10, he says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." Not a very pretty picture there. Ezekiel chapter number 34, Ezekiel, the prophet of God, gave some words from the Lord that condemned the political and spiritual leadership of the nation. And these shepherds, supposedly, who were supposed to be in charge and were supposed to be shepherding the flock of God, were exploiting the people, and they were caring only for themselves. I'll just read a couple of the verses, but y'all will take time to read Ezekiel 34 to get the gist of what's going on there. Ezekiel 34 in verse number 2 and 3 says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" That makes sense, doesn't it? You know, shepherds ought not to be about himself. He's supposed to be about the flock. And you know, we are not to be about ourselves. We're to be about the Lord's church. I'm talking about all of us. And I know primarily I'm the shepherd, yes. But listen, we shepherd one another. And there's a sense in which we are all shepherds, that we belong to him. And we are not to be about ourselves. He says there in verse 3, he says, "Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye will kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." And he said, "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." And so Jude may have had in mind here where the Lord condemned the political and spiritual leadership of the nation for exploiting the people and caring only for themselves. You know, it's a serious thing to be a shepherd over God's flock. An example for the shepherd is Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. But these false shepherds, all they're about is using and abusing people in order to get what they want. And yet all the while, somehow, people love it. I don't understand that. I've seen false shepherds such as these, and Paul marveled at this when he wrote to the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians 11:20. He said, "For ye suffer," that means put up with, "if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." And sadly, there are men of God who are, they call themselves men of God anyway, who are that way. And there are flocks of God's people who put up with such nonsense. And God will judge those that do that. A third characteristic here is that they are irreverent. He says they're without fear, without fear. They're arrogant. There's no fear of God nor thought about the damage they are doing to the fellowship of the Lord's church. The difference between a true shepherd and a hireling is that the true shepherd cares for the sheep, while the hireling cares only for himself. Ezekiel 34, verse 2 that we read a while ago, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" That's the difference between a true shepherd and a hireling. These apostates have no fear of God when they ought to be afraid. They ought to be afraid because their judgment is coming. Listen, God's not going to let that kind of behavior go without judgment. We see a fourth characteristic. They are undependable. He calls them clouds. They are without water. They're in verse 12. Clouds they are without water. This is a picture of these apostate teachers offering no hope to people that are desperately in need of hope. They're like the clouds that appear to be a promise of rain. My wife and I were walking yesterday out in the evening, and there were some clouds on the horizon. They seemed that like we might get some rain. We need some rain. Everything is dry. The grass is really crunchy under your feet. And we looked with some hope. There was some lightning that was there, but the clouds brought us no rain. They brought a promise of rain, but then they blew over, and they failed to produce the rain that we needed. And, you know, that turns out to be a great disappointment, especially to the farmer whose crops desperately need water. I remember my dad planting crops many years growing up, and a lot of times we would see clouds come up, and he would get the hope that rain would come. And my two brothers, we would get hope that the rain would come, because that would mean that we didn't have to pull the sprinklers out and drag the sprinklers to water the crops. It was a great disappointment when the clouds would come, but no rain would come. These apostates appear to be men who can give spiritual help, spiritual water. And they may boast of their abilities, but they are unable to produce. It may look like something, but it's nothing. Proverbs 25, verse 14 said, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." They promise liberty, but they can only give bondage. 2 Peter 2:19 says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage." You know, the Word of God is sometimes compared to the rain and the dew. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 2 says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew." Isaiah 55 verse 10 compares God's word to the rain and snow from heaven that bring fruit on the earth. Isaiah 55 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." But like the empty clouds in the sky, the false teachers may be prominent and even attractive, but if they can't bring rain, what good are they? If they can't bring what is spiritually needed in dry souls, what good are they? We see they are unpredictable also. Verse 12 also says, the carried about of winds. And they blow out about as fast as they blow in many times, leaving their damage behind. You ever seen a storm blow in, blow out real fast? We were, earlier this year, we had the door open over at the house and watching as a storm was coming up. And we were under some advisories, and we could actually see the storm blow in. And it blew in real fast, and it blew out real fast. And all that was left behind was yard debris. And that's the way the apostates are. And we'll be careful, because we're not to be tossed about to and fro. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So they are unpredictable. They are unfruitful. Trees, it says there in verse 12, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. The picture here is that of an orchard at harvest time. It's a time when the husbandman expects fruit, but these trees are fruitless or has withered fruit on it. Oh, they may have manufactured results that are sterile and dead, but no true fruit. When we lived in Tennessee, we bought a piece of property there that we had a nice peach tree. And when we bought the property, it had some nice sized peaches on it. But the peach tree had not been pruned in many a year. And the next year, there was no fruit. No fruit. The fruit withered on it. And that was a disappointment after having the large peaches the first year. But that's the way the apostate is. They are unfruitful. Their fruit withereth. They're without fruit. Oh, they may have manufactured results that are sterile and dead, but no true fruit. They are lifeless also. He calls them here in verse 12, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Not only are they fruitless, but they are rootless, plucked up by the roots. And that is why they are twice dead. You know, a lot of times my dad would have us to take and pull weeds out of our azalea bushes and the property we used to live on many years ago as I was a boy. And he wanted us to pull them up by the roots. You know, you could pull the weeds, and if they broke off, that part would die. But he wanted them twice dead. He wanted it dead by the roots. And so we were asked to pull them up by the roots. He didn't want us just to top them off. What a contrast to the man of Psalm 1:3, the blessed man, who it says in Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the way that the Lord wants us as believers. He wants us fruitful. He wants us blessed with fruit in our lives. We see a number eight thing here in Jude 13, and he calls them raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. We see that here's the point, they leave a wake of debris. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, there in verse 13. The picture here is that of sea waves that rage and foam under the fierce winds of a storm. Think about all the tropical storms that get close by and the hurricanes that hit our coast. And the winds and the waves, you know, they make a lot of noise, but what do they produce? You ever walked along the beach the morning after a really bad storm? and seen what the winds and the waves deposited on the shore. After the storm quiets down, there's all kinds of debris strung along the shoreline. There's debris such as driftwood, seaweed, scum, all kinds of litter. It's not a pretty sight. In the wake of the apostate, listen, there is nothing left but a destruction caused by their ways. There have been times when expected maybe that someone was going to help in a church that I was pastor of. And I was always cautious and still am cautious of apostates coming in. And there you would think that hey, this person might actually be good for our church, and they wound up not being. They left nothing but a wake of debris. Isaiah 57 and verse number 20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." That's pretty much what the apostate does. In the wake of the apostate, there's nothing left but a destruction caused by their ways. Then number 9, we see they give no light or direction. He called them wandering stars. Now think about shooting stars. I know here just recently they were saying if you wanted to stay up late at night, you could see some of the shooting stars, like shooting stars that move across the sky. They shine briefly, then they vanish without producing light or giving direction. It might be pretty to look out for just a little bit, but they really give no light or direction. Now, fixed stars help guide navigators, but wandering stars that are not really stars at all are useless to one who either needs light or direction or both. So these apostates give no light or direction. And then last of all, we see they have reservations in hell. You know, they're going to be judged one day. There, verse 13, it says, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." They will be swallowed up into the blackest darkness forever. Eternal judgment is certain for them. Because really, they're just playing a game, these apostates. They're not real. All that we've said about the apostates tonight requires one to look and make some judgments about what's going on. Yet we live in a time, sadly, where folks say, "Oh, preacher, we ought not to judge people." Well, Jesus said we ought to judge them by their fruits. He said, "By your fruits, by their fruits you shall know them." And he also gave us Jude here, his half-brother, to write this book to tell us some things to look for, some characteristics to look for. And if you're not looking, if you're not paying attention, then you're liable to be deceived. We've looked at a lot of different characteristics. And you won't find all of these in every apostate, like I said. Well, we do need to know what to look for, amen? Oh, how we need to beware of those that are of such character. And could I also say that, you know, when your pastor cautions you maybe to be on the lookout, to watch out maybe for someone and be cautious about them, he's not trying to be evil against that person. He's just trying to protect you from the ways of the apostate. And all of these things that we've said, all of these characteristics that we're pointing to, they are things that can help you to discern. And we are to be discerning. If you're going to discern, you've got to make some judgments. And the Lord gives us in His Word the judgments that we need to make, the discernment that we need to have. And so, my friend, I trust that you'll be on the lookout for folks who maybe appear on the surface like they are people of God, but all they want to do and all they're concerned about is themselves. All they want to do is take and and feast themselves. All they really care about is themselves. They really cannot be of help to folks that need help. We all need help, don't we? And I trust that you'll use the help that God gives. I thank God for every great teacher and Bible preacher that has come along my way, but I can tell you, I've had to be on guard. There have been some that were apostate. There were some who would try to pull me from the faith, try to pull me from the doctrines that I needed to be adhering to. And I'm talking about even at Bible school. When I went to Tennessee Temple, I had some teachers that were apostate there. You say, at a Bible school, at a Bible college? Yes, at a Bible college. But I thank God that I had been taught right doctrine, sound doctrine. I had been grounded. And that's why your pastor is so wanting you to be grounded. It's why I preach the way that I do. It's why I teach the way that I do. So that you will be grounded, so that you can't be moved by these apostates. You can't be carried about with their wind of doctrine that they come in with. Let's pray. Father, help us in these times of deception that we live in. Help each of us, Lord, to be discerning of those around us. Lord, to stick with what we know to be the truth. And here, just as Jude is saying that we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, Lord, help us to realize that that is true in our lives. We must earnestly contend for the faith. And if we do that, then those that are not, Lord, bringing the faith, we need to avoid so that we aren't pulled away from your truth. Lord, help us to be discerning as we need to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.